Welcome to the latest edition of K-Rock Football's Coaches Catch-Up. Here's your host, Tom King.
It's time to talk all things Model Warrior. The Warriors, of course, finalists in 2019, and we're looking to build on that and go back to where they were in 2018, in 2020. Are you confused? Yes, I'm confused with all those years, and now it's 2021, and they have a new coach. It's Chris Hickey, who's been good enough to join us in the K-Rock studios. Hello, Reg.
Hello, Kingy. How are you?
Good. You were going to do this as a three-man team last year. It was going to be you, Seamus Orr and Mitch Fisher, and unfortunately, Orr and Fish, firstly, decided not to put their hands up to coach again, and two, aren't going to play footy this year at this stage.
At this stage, no. I suppose after COVID and they both had significant injuries in 2019. Seamus had a pretty bad wrist injury, and Fish had a nasty spleen injury in that last final against Anglesey, so that hospitalised him for some time. And I think they just both decided that, you know, the injuries were pretty significant, and I suppose for all those reasons, they've decided one, not to coach, and two, at this stage, not to play. But we'll embrace them with open arms if they change their mind, but they've also made a significant contribution to Model Warrior over the journey, so that's not lost on us. And we just wish them all the best in whatever they're going to do post football at this stage.
Yep.
Prefer that they come back and play, Kingy, of course, but we wish them all the best.
How are you settling into the role? Yeah, and you've been around the club for a while now, and you obviously played a role with the Premiership in 2018 and a role in 2019. But when you go it alone in the hot seat, it's a different type of pressure. How's the build-up been over the last 4 or 5 months since you've been back to training?
I won't lie. It was daunting, especially when we sat around the table with Fitzy and we were looking at the coaching structure for next year. And Fitzy at his confident best said that, you know, we just don't want anything to change and we want it to stay the same. But unfortunately, that wasn't the case. So after that conversation, I felt a bit of an overload, if that's the word you could use. But Fitzy was pretty reassuring. We started to then already start to figure out what we wanted to do going forward from there and who we wanted to put in as line coaches and assistant coaches and reserves coaches as well. So we're a new group, but I'm pretty excited. I think we're an open book. I don't think we're going to be easy to read, I think, at this particular stage, because we've got a few new players at the club. Mm. We've got some talent coming in to replace. So that's exciting, I think, and we're all we're also starting from scratch, which I like. So we feel that there's only one way to go forward, and that's to build, and we're happy with that.
Talk to us about the coaching staff. Who have you put around you and who's going to have an influence in terms of the way you play your footy?
Adam Bishevsky, so from St Albans. He's come across. He'll be the senior playing assistant coach. He brings with him a lot of experience too. He did coach at St Albans, and he's played some high-level football too, VFL football.
Yep.
Loves the game and, you know, loves all aspects of it. Real tactical personal, I believe. And he's very good, very calm, very measured. Jeremy Ollis will be the midfield line coach as an assistant. Tom Hornsey will be the forward line assistant coach, and Tom also has brought with him some pretty good background. He played at the highest level at NFL,
yes,
in America. So he does bring a lot of. It's really good with his conditioning, and he's got a lot of really good ideas as well, Tom. And he played some serious football before he left to go to the States. So that's not lost on us. And Ollie Butler, who will take the backs, and Ollie's our resident physio as well, but Ollie's very good in strength and conditioning as well, and just one of those tough, influential backmen that that we really want down back. And then we've brought in Jimmy Cowan Clark and Bennett Thompson. They're the reserves coach. They'll jointly do it.
Yep.
They've been really impressive as well. Their buy-in's been fantastic. I only sort of witnessed it on Saturday down at Camperdown, how invested that they are. And I think that's one of the things that I was more pleased at from the weekend was just the buy-in from all the coaches.
Yep.
And the players, of course, as well. I mean, it's not lost on them. But, yeah, we've gelled pretty well. And I'm really looking forward to working with those boys, and we've formed a pretty good bond and a really good relationship.
You mentioned Tom Hornsey before and Jeremy Ollis. Ollis coming back from Bell Park after a crack in the GFL in 2019. Tommy Hornsey coming across from Grovedale after his many and varied footballing stories that he's had. But you also picked up Brett Blair, Darby Shilder. They'll both stay. So, you know, your 2019 or 2020 recruits that you picked up off-season are staying. Plus you had Bishevsky to the lineup as well. You also, Matt Kasperian from Glencoe, who has got some real raps about him. I understand he goes okay.
Yeah, he's a big boy. Big, good country boy,
yep.
Big Matt. He's embraced the club. Yeah, I know that he was thinking about travelling back to play in around Mount Gambier, and it was, that's a pretty tough ask. Matt's partner's going to play netball at Motawari too. It was good to get him across the line, and he gives us another really tall target. So, hopefully Zach May will ruck. I would expect Matt to play a little bit of ruck, a bit forward.
Yeah.
And it just gives us a really different look. We've never been a side that's been blessed with a lot of height,
no.
Really. Other than Miso. So from our perspective, yeah, we're really looking forward to those three guys working together. But Matt, yeah, look, he's been really, really good, and he's embraced the club. And, yeah, he looks as though he works pretty hard.
Yep. Good Angus, fella. Angus Hill from Old Mentonians has arrived on the doorstep.
He has. Thanks, Ollie Butler. he's friends with him. Oh, look, Angus hasn't played for a couple of years, but you can just see the way he moves and the way he trains that, yeah, he's just got footy smarts. And I think, look, he's pretty versatile. He could probably play as an inside mid, as an outside mid, and I think he could probably play as a rebounding defender or a high half forward. So to have some players like that, and especially him coming in with some adaptability, yeah, that once again, it gives you a different look about how you play and where you play them. But he's also a really nice, he's a terrific young man. And all those blokes that have come in from other clubs or that haven't played for a little while, they've been terrific at training. So we're really happy with that.
Yep. Aaron Black's aligned himself to Motawari. He'll play VFL at Geelong. A couple of things. You probably won't see him a lot. He's going to probably captain the VFL side as he has done the last couple of years. But have you seen him at training? I understand the way the VFL program's running, that they'll, no matter what the situation is with their playing status, that they will probably spend a night at their interchange club. Is that right?
That's what I'm led to believe. We met with Aaron a little while ago, myself and Mick. And obviously that was a connection with Josh Finch because they worked together at the AFLW.
Yep.
So at the moment, Aaron's still committed with his coaching at AFLW level, obviously, until the end of the season. I think there's one more game to go, is that right?
Two. They're in Perth today and two more to go.
Yeah, Finch will be on the red eye tonight, probably. And then with his VFL. So I would assume once the AFLW, the season has finished, I'd be pretty sure that we'll then see Aaron on the track. He hasn't been out there yet, but he has... yeah, he's indicated that he'll have to come out and train with the VFL requirements that they've got.
Yep.
So we expect to see him pretty soon.
Okay. So the Cats VFL don't play Easter weekend. They have the weekend off.
Right.
No practice match. Is there a potential that you will have him lining up against Anglesey round one?
I was unaware that they weren't playing at Easter. So it probably changes the landscape a little bit. Some of that might depend on Aaron, on how he's feeling. That's a conversation that we'll have with him, and obviously also with the coaching group. But no, I was unaware of that. I'm not sure then of what the VFL's expectations of Aaron would be, if they'd want him to play a game, or whether they would rather him have a weekend off and come in. And once again, that's dependent upon Aaron and his body, and you know the Chiefs at the VFL level, and see what they want to do with him.
Yep. So your outs, we mentioned Fisher and Orr retired. John Meeson will have a role at Collegians in the VAFA, whether he plays or not. I was speaking to Meeso recently. I think he's still weighing up whether he plays. And one of the great personalities of the Ballerine over recent years. I saw him at pre-season training and he actually looked in really good nick, but he's going to play elsewhere, it looks like, in Scotty Driscoll. Disco's going to have a kick up in the northwest of the state.
Yeah, Scott rang me. He's on his honeymoon, actually. I think he was in South Australia. He's looking to play at Rainbow Jeparit. So he's got some connections up there, and I think he's involved with another couple of fellas that'll travel up to Rainbow Jeparit. It's a long way.
You'll get to know the Western Highway well.
You know, it's about 4 hours. I don't know how the body will cope with that, but he'll do that. And as I said, once again, he's been a good servant of Motawari and played some really good footy, and we wish him all the best too. But as I said, if things don't work out up there, anything can happen, we'll welcome him back with open arms, as we do with any of our players that have left. And we're probably lucky in the fact that none of the players from Motawari that have left in the past or since I've been there have left because of the club. It's been circumstantial, whether that's family, health, injury, whatever that may be, work. We always say to our past players that, you know, come back at any stage, because that's where we want them to be.
Yep. Did Josh Finch play against Camperdown?
No, he did not. Oh. Unfortunately, I think he desperately wanted to play. Actually, I don't think he wanted to play.
Because he won't play against Bannockburn this week, with it obviously clashing with Geelong AFLW at the same time.
No, unfortunately. So Finchie will probably go in with really no practice match, although he has been involved in match sim at training. I don't see that as being a real issue, not from my point. Josh is a well-established, well-credentialed footballer who holds high standards, whether he's at the club or not at the club. So I know for a fact, obviously, with the AFL that, you know, he'd be doing plenty of ball work down there with the AFL Women's. He does a hell of a lot of ball work when he comes and trains. He's actually trained quite a few times this year, and he didn't think that he would be able to do that at Motta. Yeah. But he's actually made the time, and his commitment to doing that is, if any of our players look at it, they go, he's unbelievable. So we had a Saturday morning session, and he probably did an extra half an hour's running by himself after everyone else had finished. That's the way he treats it. That's how he prepares, and for those type of scenarios where he knows he won't be playing a practice match. So he'll do all that extra work. He's pretty good at it.
One of the great stories of local football was Nathan Ablett playing in the Premiership in 2018 and finding his love of the game again, the game that he was so talented at, but, you know, probably at times, you know, wasn't cared for, but just it wasn't for him. Where's Nathan at with his footy? Have you sighted him at training? He's usually been one of those ones that's rolled in sort of mid-February, early March. I know he's playing cricket with Torquay. Is he going to have a kick with you guys? Where's he at?
Always a late starter, Nathan. At this stage, I think he's undecided. I did speak to him probably a week or two ago. I would say probably no at this stage. That's the feel that I get, and I'm open and honest about that. I don't think Nathan would mind. He's just not quite sure whether he wants to play or not, and that's a decision he needs to make. I know he's still sort of tossing up with the idea. Once cricket finishes, that might completely change and turn around. Once again, I know I've said it before, but if he wants to play and decides to play, we'll welcome him back. He's another guy that's, 6'4", 6'5", could probably play as a mid, can play tall back, can ruck and can play forward. Mm. They don't grow on trees. So Yeah, if he changes his mind, as I said, we'd love him back. And the boys have been asking about him. He's a bit of a cult figure there.
Yeah.
Very quiet, unassuming. But he's just got this aura about him that the boys really sort of get drawn to him, and they want him to come back and have a kick. But as I said, the ball's in Nathan's court there.
Yeah, Reg. Makes it very difficult for another Ablett to play for Nottawarri if his brother's not playing, doesn't it?
I assume that would be the case.
Has anybody spoken to Gary about what he's... I know he's obviously had the shoulder issue post-AFL Grand Final, but has anybody reached out to Gary to just get a feel for whether there is any interest at all in coming full circle and finishing where it started?
I know Nathan has spoken to him. So the last time I did speak to Nathan... I did jokingly say, well, you know that if you don't play, Gary's no chance. tongue in cheek.
Was it fully tongue in cheek?
No. There was some hope at the end of it. But and why wouldn't you? No, Nathan did say his shoulder was pretty bad, yeah. And the scenes were quite sad. I think at the end of the game, he couldn't sort of even hold his son.
Yeah,
like that's how bad his shoulder was, and I think we've all got to respect it. Look, the dream would be unbelievable, and it would be great for the club. But you know, Gary's got a life post AFL professional football, and he's got a family to look after. So I think we just let sort of sleeping dogs lie there at the moment, and you know, if by some sort of miracle that his shoulder was feeling good enough to play, then of course, once again, it would be a fantastic opportunity. Not just for the club, I think it'd be great for the region.
We've talked about established names, but give us some young guns. And I know there's some talented young kids at Mottawarri that have come through the ranks. There's been some junior success over the last 5 or 6 years, and these kids are ready, probably, you know, with now an extra 18 months on the birth certificate. Age, not on their birth certificate, that would make them, but they're 18 months older, that are ready to step up. Who's impressed you over pre-season?
Matt McKim's one. I mean,
his name always seems to come to mind when I talk about young kids at Modern.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, as I said, it's Matt's played some, he played some footy in 2018 as a Colt. I don't know how many games he played in the end. It would have been only a handful, just to give him some experience. Yep. 2019, he played, I think he played all year. I don't think he missed any games. So he's still only 20.
Yep.
So he's come out. Left footer, strongly built, got himself pretty fit. He's still improving all the time, but he's one that we look to. Nat Matthews is very, his cricket comes first, and he's always, you know, been that way. But Nat has played some senior footy as well out of the Colts. He came out of the Colts in 2019 and obviously didn't get the opportunity in 2020. But I think Nat played some footy in 2019 in the seniors and had a taste as well. So he's another one that we'll be looking to at stages this year. I know Sam Romerell's been at the club for... He's been at the club for 3 years, but Sam's still only a young fellow. We got him from Ballarat, but he's another one that stayed the journey since we got him in 2018. So he's another one, and you can just see him developing with his leadership. And of course, then you like Morgan Fenton's still only young.
Yep. Will he go back to the GFL at some stage?
I don't know.
I know Colin,
yeah, that article was in the paper some time ago. gloss over that. He's a talented player, Morgan. He's touch wood. I think he's probably as fit now than what he has been since I've got there.
Yep.
And he burst on the scene. He's just a bit of a competitive beast, Morgan, and loves his footy, but I think he loves the club.
Yep.
We'd be hoping that he'd be staying around for a little bit longer, but that's an itch he might want to scratch in the GFL. I'm not quite sure, but let's just hope he stays at Mottawarri for a little bit longer.
All right, Reg, your first month of the season. I'm not sure how far you look ahead as a coach, but we've been looking at the first 4 weeks for clubs. Obviously, the lights get switched on for the first time for a home and away game, which will be fantastic. I think that's the last night of before we go out of daylight saving, so you'll probably play a half in daylight and a half in the dark against Anglesey, then Newcombe round two at Newcombe, Ocean Grove back at home round three, and then Ammo's on the weekend of Anzac Day for your month of April. So, any game of footy is going to be challenging in the Bellarine this year. Talking to all the other Bellarine coaches, and I know you've listened to a couple of these, but all are agreeance that this might be the most even BFL season in recent memory.
Feels that way. Yeah. To be honest, I haven't taken a lot of notice on who's been recruited elsewhere. I think, obviously, there's some clubs that have still got some new players coming in 2020, but I suppose if you go back to, 2019 and at the 2020, sorry, Kingy, I'm losing my years. I think it was pretty evident that, Torquay and Barwon Heads were probably going to be the yardstick, I think, in everyone's mind, and I don't think that'll change. And then you're right. Who knows with the rest? It seems to me that every club is pretty confident that they'll be really competitive. And I think that's the way you want it, for sure. You don't want a competition that's completely, you've got three or four up the top and everyone's, struggling down the bottom. And I think that's the beauty that the Bellarine has been, ever since I've got there, or since I've been involved in 2017, it's had a really even feel about it. And as we know, anyone on their given day can win it.
Yep.
Not necessarily the favourites. So, yeah, I think it's a really good challenge for every club, and that they should be going into the season with a bit of confidence that, if they get it right on their day, they can beat anybody, for sure.
Reg, been good to talk to. We've covered a lot in an extended period of time. Really appreciate you taking the time to come in. Looking forward to speaking with you throughout the year. I think it's going to be an interesting year for Motowari. Got some great talent. And as I said, the competition's very even and it could be anybody's to win in 2021. And I'm sure you guys will be thereabouts. And for your sake, I hope you are.
Thanks, Kingy. I appreciate the invite to come in. It's all a bit formal in here. I feel really important for the first time in a while. Thanks for inviting me in. It's been good to chat. And I just want to say that to all clubs out there, that good luck. And let's just hope it's a really good season, no interruptions. And it's a close and even competition and people are back playing footy.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for joining us, Reg.
No worries.
Thanks for listening to this edition of K-Rock Football's Coaches Catch Up. For other editions and the latest local news, head to krockfootball.com.au.